Now, we had a very happy time last night in our prayer meeting, spending the first half hour speaking to God, then secondly having God speak to us. And I'm going to begin where my brother left off last night, because I'm sure of this. If I could continue with the same ability to give out what the little I have that he gave out, I feel we were going to be well blessed this morning. But you know, in one family there were two men. One was the name Moses, and the other Aaron. Well, I'm Moses, and my brother is Aaron. That is, he's able to speak, and Moses said to God, I'm not able to speak. But anyway, I'm going to start in at the 9th chapter of the Gospel by St. Luke, and when I was down there, I thought the government didn't allow wiretapping, but I'd like to tap these things and shut them off. I don't mind you hearing me, but then it's a telltale. If I speak to you, I make a little flub, then I've missed, they get me. If it isn't going on, then, of course, you forget it. But now in the Gospel by St. Luke, chapter 9, and and for the benefit of those that were not with us last night, my brother read a portion of Scripture from Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, and he started in about verse 1. I'm not going to preach his message, but it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, then he went on from there, and then the disciples heard him pray, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so he gave them what we have in this chapter, and then he gave them every encouragement to pray, and every encouragement for us to pray that follow. The things that we can ask for, and the things that we have a promise from God we may receive. We sometimes sing the blessing you ask for, you'll surely receive. And so we did some asking last night, and we did some asking this morning, and we should expect great things from God. Our God is a great giver, and our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. But my brother left off his message at verse 12, and I'm going to read verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The older ones will fully understand this, and possibly some of the young. At this time, the Holy Spirit of God had not been given. It came and it went. It would light upon a man, and he would do a great work for God, and then he would leave again. But when we come to the Gospel by St. John, our Savior tells us about the Spirit, and this is what he had to say. He will abide with you forever. Now, they had him just for that moment, just for that period, and he left, and they were left stranded and helpless. But in the church of God today, we have the Holy Spirit of God, and he's given as to be the power, the ruling power in our lives. And he is the one that opens the eyes of our understanding, that we may behold wondrous things out of his law. We can thank God today. Now, we are not Pentecostals, and we're not all always being about the Spirit of God. Maybe we don't preach enough about Him, because He certainly is needed in our meeting today and in all our lives. But we have this word. He said to them, now, how much more shall your Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Now, I'm sure we do not need to ask this today. We have been born of the Spirit, and we have the Spirit of God, but I want to tell you something. We have language like this. We can be filled with the Spirit, and there's such a thing as grieving that Spirit of God so that He will not and cannot work in our lives. And so this morning, we had, after our first breakfast, we all remember Alec O'Brien, and this is what he would say, and my father-in-law used it a great deal. Well, let's have our second breakfast. And so this is what we read. I'm just going to turn to this, then a little later, get to what is upon my heart if I can. We had Psalm 21 this morning, and I'm just going to read one or two little verses there. The 21st Psalm, and we will read from verse 1. The king shall joy in thy strength. Here is a man, and the word of God says of him, where the word of a king is, there's power. None can stay his hand, or say unto him, what doest thou? And yet this king, one of the greatest kings that ever lived, here he is, and he's speaking now to God, speaking to God. And he said, the king shall joy in thy strength. I tell you that we realize our weakness, and we need his strength. And that great king with all his power said, the king shall joy in thy strength. And I tell you, God is our refuge and strength, and a present help in time of need. Then he goes on to say, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Then thou hast given him his heart's desire, and not withholden the request of his lips. I hope and trust that will be true at this time. Now we have had things on our hearts and minds, and we've been crying to God that he might do this for us. Well, it is said in this verse, thou hast given him his heart's desire. And I hope and trust that will be true at this time, that God will give us our heart's desire. Well, someone is saying, what is it you want? Well, I'll tell you what I want. I want more of God in my life. And I want more of the power of the Spirit of God in my ministry. And I want to be able, if I can, to help the saints. And then on top of that, we're living in a world that of unsaved men and women. There was a day when you could go out into the little schoolhouses round about the country and get them filled. But today, it's so hard to get a company of people that will sit down and listen to the Word of God. And then, what is lacking? Well, one thing is that is, things have come in, and the people have moved out of the country and moved into the city. When you get into the city, there's just too many things for the eye and the ear to attract you, and we seem as though we haven't time for anything that is for God. So, may the Lord then speak to our hearts by the power of His Spirit and help us to realize we have been picked up and put in a place of responsibility, so that when we speak, we may speak as the oracle of God and speak as the ministers of God. Now, this one said again, thou hast given him his heart's desire. My friend, what is your desire this morning? What is my desire this morning? I'll tell you what dear Paul said. when he was thinking about the nation of Israel, he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And it's a nice thing to have a burning desire in your hearts for the unsaved. And you see, had it not been for some faithful men and women in the past that brought the message of salvation in Sunday school and in gospel meetings, we might have been like the masses in our sins today, traveling on to endless despair. But God, in His great love and mercy, reached down and saved us, and He is still taking out of the Gentiles the people for His name. Here and there, and I think again of dear Paul when he said this, "I taught you publicly and from house to house." I think I have a little note in the back of my Bible, at least, if not in this one, and it is not. But I'll tell you what it was. There was a certain man, great preacher, and this is what he said. He said, "I believe in those sermons where one man is the minister and one in the congregation." "Why," said someone, "I couldn't imagine anyone speaking like that." He was a great preacher. A great preacher. But he said, "I'm a firm believer in one man ministry, that is, one man the speaker, one man the congregation." Now, if we cannot get the crowds together to hear the Word of God, maybe we can go out and find someone that will listen to the Word of God. There are those here and there, and we need to be exercised in that line. Just 2 weeks ago tomorrow, John and I were at Atchison, Kansas, when at the beginning of the Sunday school, someone reached in his pocket and pulled out a letter. And he said, "Take it home with you, John. You and David read it, but bring it back." And this man was in World War Number 2, and he and his wife, they met a young couple, and they were very close together and have kept in touch with each other all during that time. But this lady that lives now in California, she wrote and said, "Well, Virginia," she said, "I'm dying of cancer. I'm dying of cancer." And she said, "I have two little children, 1 4, 1 about 7 1/2, and I hate to leave my children, but that's not the worst. I'm not ready to meet God. I'm in my sin, and I'd like to know how to get saved." I tell you, we, John and I with the others, have been praying daily that God by His Spirit, through His Word, might reach and save that soul. Had it been 500 miles, I would have jumped in my car and made the trip, but she's out in California, San Diego, and it seemed just a little too far. But John wrote a letter, and I gathered up a lot of good gospel papers, and we sent that on to her, thinking maybe in her anxiety of soul, she might be feeling after God as she is, and maybe reached and saved before it is forever too late. Here and there in this world, there are those that realize, "I'm going out of time, I'm going into eternity, and I'm just not ready to go." May God stir our hearts then. Now with you, I'm going to look at 2 Chronicles, and it's going to be chapter 15. And I'll watch the clock. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, and we will read a portion of Scripture there. Verse 1 of this chapter, and this came before my mind last night, and as I thought of our prayer meeting, and the exercise on the part of the people of God, then I read this story, and I'll read it in part to you. "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Oded. Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa. And remember, Asa was a king. This other man, he's a prophet. But he went out to meet him. I tell you, this is what he had to say to him. And let me just read now, because of time, in verse 3. Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God. Isn't that something? That only nation that ever lived that had a real link with the living God as they did. And they lost that link with God. They seemed to drift and get away from Him. Now, in this next part of the same verse, he said, without the true God, evidently, they had some kind of God. And maybe some of us are just like them to them at this time. We have been going on, and we have been coming to the meetings, but how have we been coming? Have we been exercised, and have we been living godly lives, and have we been a help to the meeting or to the unsaved? God, stir up the speaker and the congregation as well. Back to verse 3 again. Now for a long season, that nation of Israel hath been without the true God, without the teaching priest, and without law, without the word of God. I tell you, going on without God's guidance, that is, in this chapter he said for a long season, they were without the true God. They did not realize God in their midst. And I tell you, it went ill with them, and we the same today. If we have not God in our midst, then it will go ill with us. But thank God, my brother John and I have been going over some of the Psalms, and some in Deuteronomy and other places, the goodness of God to the nation of Israel. Even although they sinned against God and became as idolaters, turned away from the living God, he made a promise to his servant Moses that if they would return, then he would take them up again. And oh, brethren and sisters, isn't it wonderful that on the part of our God, maybe I have been drifting, and possibly I've not been going on as I should. But the most wonderful thing about it is God is willing to take me up again and restore me to himself. The psalmist David said, thou restorest my soul. Very, very personal. Thou restorest my soul. And I tell you, that's getting pretty close, isn't it? My soul. Each one of us need to be exercised. What about my condition of soul? And have I been, or am I, being used of God in any way, shape, or form? Sometimes we spend weeks away from home, and we are scattering the Word of God, and once in a while we get a few together to hear the Word of God, and then the next thing is, Lord, we need your presence, we need your power, we need your help. Salvation is of the Lord. When we humble ourselves in the dust of the ground and confess to God that salvation is of the Lord and we're not sufficient, we're not able, then oftentimes God in return comes in and will give us a little shower of blessing. And I want to tell you, it's the most refreshing and encouraging thing for any servant of God to see the living God putting his stamp of approval on his work. I tell you, when we go from day to day and week to week and we see very little done for God, it makes us bow our heads and bow our hearts and confess to God, Lord, there's something lacking in my life and I need thee as never before. But thank God, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, in the verse that I've called our attention to, that was verse 3 of our chapter, For a long season, Israel hath been without the true God. Without the true God. Oh, listen. And if you're without the true God today, there is a way back. Then the next thing he said, without the teaching priest, and that speaks to us of the Spirit of God. The teaching priest that can teach us, that can lead us, that can open our understanding, that can give us help in time of need. Then again. And without law, they had closed the book. And they had ceased to read the book. In fact, they lost track of the book at one time. But now, in this chapter, we're going down to verse 8. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. He renewed the altar. You know, it's a nice thing to get back to the altar. We have in our morning meeting hymn book, I've been to the altar and witnessed the Lamb, burnt holy to ashes for me, and watched its sweet savor ascending on high, accepted, O Father, by thee. And then we leave a meeting like that and feel, Lord, it was a little taste of heaven on earth. And it makes us want to get back to a loving heart again, back to a loving breast, his arms, and realize I've been going along without him. And it reminds us again of the first line of verse 3. Now for a long season, a long season, Israel hath been without the true God, without the true God, without the teaching priest, and without law. But, now, look at this. But when they in their trouble did turn to the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. I tell you, brethren, we have every encouragement to meet together to pray. Every encouragement to meet together to read the Word of God. When they in their trouble, they turned to God. Then he tells us they sought him. He was found of them. I hope and trust that some today, as this meeting closes, we'll say, well, thank God. Thank God. There's a way back. I realize I've been walking at a distance from God. And now I realize that he's willing to take me back. Oh, the love, the wondrous love, the love of God to me, that brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. Then, we will be in a good condition of soul for any of the meetings that's to follow. Now, I'm going down to verse 9 of this chapter. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin. He gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh, out of Simeon, for they fell out to him out of Israel in abundance. They came out in abundance. And I tell you, there was abundance of departure, but there was abundance of restoration. And so may God today speak to our hearts and give us the abundance of restoration. I like this part of this verse. Out of Israel in abundance, they fell out to him in abundance. Great turning to God. Then, verse 12 of our chapter, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. They made a covenant. They said, now, we must get back to God. Then, listen, what follows is this. That whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. Wasn't that terrible? And yet, that was one of God's ways of getting his people back to himself. And at the end of this chapter, I'll just read this and sit down. In verse 17, and the high places were not taken out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. Wonderful, isn't it? The heart of Asa was perfect all his days. And there was no more war. Peace at this time. Wasn't that something? May the Lord end our days in peace for his name's sake. Amen.